The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We will have Ty Thompson today. Ty Thompson was the Gatorade Player of the Year quarterback at Mesquite High School, went from Mesquite to Oregon. Oregon into the transfer portal. Now he's at Tulane. So we continue bringing you quarterbacks that have made the move. Tyler Shuck last week, this week Ty Thompson. There's a couple of other quarterbacks that I'll be working on as well. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. I was in Payson yesterday. Actually, I was in Payson night before, so Tuesday night. Tuesday night, I go to Payson. I'm supposed to be in an event yesterday that I played in over at the Rim Golf Club with Rich Tomey, Dick Tomey's son, that I'll talk about in a minute. But I decided to go for a walk with my wife. We checked in at Coles Ranch Camp Tonizona. Those of you that have been up there through the years, you know it's all about. Watch some Olympics. We went for a walk. We ended up over in the field at Camp T. We get to the field at Camp T. They locked the gate. I couldn't get in, but I have a brand new 15, so I've got a great camera. And I noticed that there's cows. It's over on my social if you want to see it. I put it up on my Facebook page, Brad Sesmat, and over on X at Brad Sesmat. And some people didn't like it. It's just cows on the field and they're pooping and whatever, and they're big cows, and it's me making fun of, you know, the size that is there. And if you want to go see it, go check it out. We are now day two into workouts for both the University of Arizona and Arizona State. If you have not followed Jordan Hamm yet, Jordy on our team is on the college beat. Today's actually going to be from ASU over to GCU because GCU basketball is getting together for the media. And we actually believe in big things for GCU this year. So I went to Payson, saw the cows pooping and walking on the field. Thought that was pretty funny. Watched some Olympics. Yesterday I played in the Positive Coaching Alliance golf tournament. Played with two dudes from Dutch Brothers who are great. And we had, and my wife, and, what did I win yesterday? No, she won longest drive. And Rich Tomey is one of those people. There's actually some ties to Rich Tomey, the late Dick Tomey, this year on Arizona State's staff. And of course on the U of A's staff, Brent Brennan, Dick Tomey poured into him. So if you're a U of A fan, we're working on that story, and it will be a deeper one. It'll be over on our television side. So visit with Rich for a bit. It's good stuff that he's doing there. On the way back, because of the fires in Payson, came down the hill, and they forced us off the main road, off the 87, and we had to go through Globe. And I'm listening to the Diamondbacks game going through Globe, and once again, Paul Sewald. It's hard to pitch, right? You're supposed to throw a ball with your hands wide open. It's hard to pitch when you're doing this. It's hard to do that, right? And I don't know, like, the mental gymnastics of a closer. A week ago, it was the last Saturday, I was in a golf event, and it was with a former U of A kicker who's now in the NFL. He's in between. Was with the Rams last year and ended up being released, was in Detroit last Friday for a workout. I said, what's your social on? Oh, no, I don't do social. It's not good for my mental health as a kicker. Can you imagine Paul Sewald today? Like, I just made a little joke that some people won't find funny, but I think a lot of people will look at it and say, look, as a closer, if you can't go out there, if you've lost it so badly, and clearly the organization still feels like he's going to be our guy. Yesterday might have been the bottoming out. I don't know. July was bad. Yesterday was really bad to finish the month. He comes in, bases get loaded by him, and they have to bring in Ryan Thompson to finish the deal. And the good news is you sweep Washington. You should sweep Washington. They're not good. The bad news is if you look at where things are going with Paul Sewald, it's okay, it's August 1st. Do you bottom him out? Do you take him out of that role? Do you still believe in him? Do you let him work through it? How many of these games can he blow? Did you see what the Padres did with the Dodgers last night? You look at the wild card chase, and you're going to look at back on this season, whether or not they make it in, and say, man, we made it in by the skin of our teeth because of what happened in July. Or, yeah, we missed it because of what happened in July. And Paul Sewald is going to get a lot of the blame for that. I pretty much feel as though that Justin Martinez is the long-term answer. In the last 10 days, I've been wrong. He's not ready. But the only way he's going to get ready is to get him out there and get him over the hump. Fortunately, the Diamondbacks have a pitching coach in Brent Strom who's so highly regarded around the game that I feel as though that both these guys are going to get it figured out, or he's going to help them get it figured out. But at the end of the day, it's like you sitting in the stands screaming at your kid, you know, the high school football game you go to, hey, block somebody, hey, watch for the blitz. Like, no kidding, guys, okay? I know you want to help. But Brent Strom can't say, hey, Paul, pull your head out. He can walk out there once, but so I'm driving down listening to it yesterday, and Chris Garagiola and Mike Farron were together. And that's a good pairing, by the way. Mike Farron and Chris Garagiola, that's a very good pairing. I like them a lot. And this isn't slighting any of the other announcers. It's just they were having fun and getting into each pitch. And it was just a good listen yesterday. So I make it down the hill. They end up winning. They get the brooms out. Yesterday, it sounded like it was a breakthrough day over at Salt River Fields. Eduardo Rodriguez threw. He's got his bag packed, reading Nick Pecoro today in AZ Central, and will probably show up in Cleveland. Okay, you're going to put him back into the rotation. Ryan Nelson has not been terrible. He's been up and down, just like last season. Remember last season when there were young arms that they brought up and they just kind of hung in there? And the only one that really pushed through was Brandon Pfaadt. Well, if you can get one or two of those guys every year out of your system rather than having to spend the money, if you can have the draft picks come through and contribute, I mean, look at the young outfielders that they have. They have this surplus of young outfielders that they have under control. They decided what they were going to pay Corbin, and I was fine with that. But you can now address other positions of need. So they go on the road, and they play at Pittsburgh, and they're going to see Paul Skeens at some point this weekend. I have not looked at the schedule yet. I just knew last week when they were in town, Pirates were in town. Yeah, Skeens was going to show up either Saturday or Sunday. So I'm excited for that. As a fan of sport, I'm excited for that. Getting Rodriguez back, that's great. Merrill Kelly, get him back, but is there really a push here in the first part of August? Is it really a push? Yeah, as I said earlier, you can miss it by a game or two, but if you bring him back too early now, you're really setting yourself back. You know, something interesting I've been watching because Brock Purdy's a part of it. And those of you that have seen this platform through the years know that we've done a lot on Brock. And so the 49ers last year make it to the Super Bowl last February. In this offseason, and even during last year, there was the joke about how Mr. Irrelevant was only making $700,000 playing quarterback in the NFL. Meantime, Patrick Mahomes is making 10 times 20, whatever it is, more than him. Well, the 49ers are in a really interesting situation financially. You know, Brandon Ayuk, not happy with his contract. Trent Williams is holding out. He's the best left tackle in the game. Tristan Wirfs over at Tampa Bay today becomes the highest paid left tackle. And Trent Williams is sitting there saying, I'm not showing up until I get mine. And I bring this up because when I was at a Cardinals last week, and if you just look at the Cardinals, if you just put all of the minutiae that is late July and August of aggregators saying, here's five great things about the Cardinals at today's practice. Like, here was a fight today, and it's not even really a fight. It's two grown men pushing each other. Like, so what? If you just look at what's going on, Brock is in a space where he's in a position to get his big contract. Could be 50, could be $65 million. Whatever the number is, it's somewhere in that range. Meantime, Patrick Mahomes is sitting over there saying, wait, I'm paying Trevor Lawrence what? That's another rant for another day. Brock, if he goes out and has a great season, a good season, he's in great position for that money. If he goes out and doesn't perform up to what we saw in the last couple of years, we saw at the 49ers that with Trey Lance, yeah, you're gone. It's a ruthless game. That's why I'm usually on the side of the player when it comes to contracts and negotiations. Because the player window, if I'm to believe the players' union, the last stats that I saw were the average lifespan of an NFL player is about 2.4 years. Okay. We all see Tom Brady playing late into his career, but no, it's about 2.4 years. Minuscule. You want to be able to see somebody make the money, but at the same time, the 49ers are having a little bit of implosion in camp with contracts. Sometimes it's just dudes don't want to go through training camp. I get that. Sometimes it's dudes are saying, look, I just want to be healthy when it gets to Thanksgiving. I've had dudes tell me that in locker rooms. That's why I'm pretty done with the NFL on things like player safety and all that. They don't believe in that. They don't. So where the 49ers are, the Cardinals have bottomed out and they're starting to come back up. In the NFL, it just takes a couple of breaks. It does. If Kyler's into his sixth season, if he doesn't play well here this year, he's gone. That's how it works. And so I'm not saying that, you know, for a 4-13 team that can't find their ass with both hands, or either hand, that the Cardinals are going to be a playoff team this year. I think they have the capability because the NFL is a watered-down league. There's a lot of parity. And it takes a few things to not go right. And I see up in San Francisco where there's just a few things that are, they feel off. Meantime, you have a team like Detroit that still is getting better and better. You know, if you're a Cowboy fan, you're always going to sit here and say, oh, where are the Cowboys? Yeah, and every year you get your heart just stomped on because you're the Cowboys. You're living off of 30 years ago rather than reality. You know, if you look in the NFC West and where teams are, 49ers, yep, defending Super Bowl, NFC team. Don't feel so good about where they are as to where they were. Okay. Look at the Rams. The Rams have made some nice moves, believe in what their coach is all about, but not quite there yet. Seattle, big changes, huge changes. You still have to go through Seattle. And so the West is not, I don't think it's as cut and dry as the 49ers are going to win it and the Cardinals are going to be last. I don't believe that. And if you look around teams in the playoff, in the NFC, in the playoff world, is Philadelphia going to continue to do this? Or, you know, is there a little bit there? Is Dallas finally going to get over top? Is Jordan Love going to, nobody can really say. Meantime, over in the AFC, it's Baltimore and Kansas City or Kansas City and Baltimore. That's it. There's no other argument that could be made. None. You can try as a fan. Fans are going to say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. No, I do. It's Kansas City or Baltimore unless the two quarterbacks go down. That's how it works. Just got to get in the playoffs. Just got to be healthy. And all of a sudden, teams come together. All right. Speaking of quarterbacks, Ty Thompson's journey is one you're going to want to hear for many, many reasons. When I run into crazy dad or crazy parent, and my kid has got to go to said school because said school wins championships every year, Ty went to Mesquite, which because he wanted to play with his buddies, even though a lot of his friends went to big, powerful football programs, and Ty ended up being the Gatorade Player of the Year. Like, you really need to hear some of this stuff from Ty and his journey and Phil Knight being at Nike and meeting Phil and all that stuff. I caught up with Ty earlier. That's after this timeout. All right, as promised, I want to take you around to quarterbacks that were here in the Valley that starred, and they went on to college, and everybody's excited about them, and they go off the grid a little bit because of competition, whatever it is, and then they resurface, they compete, then they go in the portal, then they end up elsewhere. That is the story of Ty Thompson. That is the story of Tyler Shuck. That is the story of Chuba Purdy. But Ty Thompson's story is the one I'm focusing on right now because he's sitting across from me. But those three guys have all moved around. I appreciate you taking time for a couple of minutes to talk to the fans back here in the Valley, Ty. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm good. So your journey off the top, when I talked about it, if I had seen you, and I did, at Mesquite do your thing, if I would have told you, look, you're going to end up in Tulane at some point in your life, what would you have said?
I would have been caught off guard. I didn't, honestly, when I was 16, 17 years old, when I was getting recruited and stuff like that, I didn't, you know, even know what Tulane was, or they weren't really on the map like that until 2020, 2021, 2022. But I mean, looking back at it now, I mean, I can't imagine anywhere I'd rather be. So, I mean, back then I might not have known, but right now there's nowhere I'd rather be. So
let's back up from Mesquite, where you had great success, to Oregon. Let's just start at Oregon and how that went for you, not just on the field, but off the field, because that's a big part of it too.
Yeah. So my freshman year, redshirted, I sat behind the sixth year senior, Anthony Brown, who's with the Raiders now, played with the Ravens last year, did a great job. And then going into my sophomore year, we got a new staff. They brought in Bo. He did his thing. Stayed for 2 years, went to the league. Now he's first round pick for the Broncos. And then the staff decided to bring somebody else in this year. So I decided to, you know, part ways, made the best decision for myself, and kind of find a new home for myself. And that's exactly where I'm at now. So off the field, I mean, I can't thank that place, Eugene, the school, the football team, the friends that I've made, the coaching staff, enough for what they've done for me, and the man that they've created. Like, I don't think, I mean, no one would ever want to be in the position that I was in, but I think it's created a lot of toughness and put me through some adversity. And, you know, I've built some great friendships, some great brotherhoods, connections with coaches all over the country. So, I mean, if you look at the bright side of things, there's been a lot of positive that's come out of everything that's happened with Oregon.
How about in the classroom? What'd you accomplish there?
Yeah, well, I was 3.5 years into a business degree. Unfortunately, I left before I could graduate. But I was like a semester away from graduating with a 3.0 plus GPA in a business school, sports business degree. So I did pretty good there. I was on Dean's List a couple times. I think I was academic all something once or twice. So, yeah, I did pretty well academically.
That's good. You ever meet Uncle Phil?
I did a couple times. He made his way down to the games often, shook his hand plenty of times. We went up to the headquarters a couple of times for some stuff, for some like cleat testing, performance like analysis and stuff like that. So I met him a few times, yeah.
Whenever I talk to Oregon athletes, when they say Uncle Phil, Uncle Phil calls and you go. What's Phil Knight like? Did you get to know him well enough to somebody says, what's this legendary sports figure like?
He's, I mean, he's getting up there in age now, but he's like a young dude at heart. You can tell he's still got, you know, some juice about him. He loves the Ducks. He'll come speak at practice every now and again. Usually before we play, you know, Washington or Oregon State, or sometimes before we play Stanford, because he went to Stanford. So just give us some words of encouragement. He always had some jokes for us and stuff like that. So he's a cool dude. He the stuff that he did for that program and that school is unreal. Like, I mean, you see the football stuff, but half of the university buildings, like the hospital, the medical buildings, are like $500 million named after him, because he donated all that stuff. The basketball stuff named after his son because he donated a lot of stuff. So that guy is just a special human being for sure, for his, you know, generosity.
So you studied on the business side. You're close to graduating, which you can go back and do when you're done, or you just finish it now at Tulane. Do you know what you want to do yet with it? When football comes to an end, do you know what you want to do with it yet? Or is it just, I'm going to get this piece of paper and someday I'll figure it out?
Yeah, that's definitely where I'm at right now. Obviously I have dreams and aspirations of playing in the NFL,
sure.
But like you said, when football comes to an end, there's gotta be a plan. Plan isn't in place yet, but, I think getting the piece of paper that has my name on it and says graduated from whatever university will help, you know, my plan shape out whenever I decide to make that plan.
So you're sitting there at Oregon, and they make change. And I looked at it from a distance and said, he's going to go in the portal. At some point, he's going to go in the portal. The portal now is an advantage for players. I have no problem with portal. I have no problem with NIL. I have no problem with any of that. I've been doing this for almost 40 years, and I've seen where players are held hostage and punished, and they can't go move around. You're on the front end of something that is, some believe, the Wild Wild West. I think it's pretty smart for any player to say, all right. So how did that journey go from you to Eugene to Tulane? How many places did you look at? Who helped you along in that? I'm doing like a business side of sports here with you.
Yeah. Geez, I can't even name the amount of people that helped me with this, you know, the decision and the whole process. But it started with talking to the coaches at Oregon, giving them full transparency and, you know, thanking them for everything they've done with me. And then I, you know, obviously went in the portal. It was hectic for about 10, 14 days because I got in kind of late. There's like an active period and then a dead window. And then school starts. So it was, I had to kind of hurry through the whole process. So I was on the phone for 2 weeks straight, probably 18 hours a day with schools all over the country, you know, Power Five to the, you know, lower level group of five schools. And, you know, I was you know, taking calls from anybody, you know, putting everybody in the competition or whatever, the recruiting. I guess the main people that helped me, besides my family, my mom and my dad, were obviously the number one supporters and helpers and that. But I mean, some of the assistant coaches at Oregon, I mean, even Coach Lanning was, you know, giving me recommendations. If one of the coaches that's talking to me from a new school is reaching out to Coach Lanning, I mean, that's a pretty big deal. Yeah. That means he's extremely interested. So that's one of the things that I liked about Coach Summerall here. He's one of the two coaches that reached out to Coach Lanning back at Oregon asking about me. He's that interested and invested in me. And I think that's a big deal. So, but I mean, there's coaches, staff, even like my business support people with RG3 Sports have kind of, you know, helped me reach out to places and do all that stuff on the business side of things. So, I mean, I can't even thank everybody enough. So, yes, sir.
When you pushed send to go in the portal, did you have a moment like, this is real? Or just as part of the deal, I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to go to In-N-Out or whatever, you know?
No, it was definitely, it was an emotional process. I think the moment was when I, you know, I had just got done talking to the coaches upstairs and I went downstairs and cleaned out my locker. That was an emotional like moment for me.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, it's a bittersweet, like it's a chapter closing, but then a chapter opening, you know, so it's hard to be upset when there's such a bright future ahead. So that's how I kind of look at it.
Who was first? Who was the first school? And if it was Tulane, fine, but usually in this portal era, guys will just rattle them. Brad, it was this school, this school, this school, this school. Nothing personal, but Tulane made the most sense. You remember who the first school was to reach out? And it was like, oh, okay.
The very first,
yeah,
I think, was Boise State. Yeah. Some of the people on that staff that recruited me in this process aren't even there anymore. But I was, you know, like, it was a Sunday when I went in, so you can't talk until Monday because like, it's like a business day deal or whatever. But at 8 a.m. on a Monday, I'm getting groceries at Safeway, and I get a phone call from a random number that I don't have saved, and it's OC from Boise State. So it was, and then from there, I took six calls in that Safeway, and then on the way home, I took three more. So it was that's how that process kind of got started.
You're in the produce section, and then you're over in the meat side, and you're getting some dairy, some yogurts or something, and boom, 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 boom.
Exactly.
So from there, you punch out of Eugene. Did you come back home, or did you go from Eugene when you decided on Tulane? How did that work?
Yeah, so I decided to stay in Eugene and take my visits from there. I took one or two visits from Eugene. And then because it was kind of an abbreviated period, I didn't want to go home and then have to come back and move my stuff from Eugene because I had a fully, you know, furnished apartment, townhome, and I needed to move all that stuff wherever I was going to go. So I decided to stay in Eugene for the process of recruiting. And then when the time came to move out, I was just going to be in one spot and move into the next spot. So it was kind of smoother that way. I got to stop at home on my drive from Eugene to New Orleans, which was nice. Stopped for a couple hours, so saw my parents, kind of dropped my brother off and picked my dad up because that's who he kind of, I did the drive with. So, yeah, I didn't necessarily get to go home, but I got to stop at home for a little bit.
But you didn't fly, so you drove. I've done that drive from Eugene to here. It's pretty in parts, boring in other parts.
Yeah.
But then you drove to Tulane, and that can be a boring drive. It's
about 50 hours in a U-Haul truck, towing my car behind it. And you can't go above like 70 miles an hour. So it was long, let me tell you.
But you didn't know about Tulane first. You and Dad had to go visit it, right? Or did you already know when you packed everything up that that's where you're going?
No. I visited during the process, and it was the last school that I had visited. Mm-hmm. It's the process is crazy. I had, you know, plans to go from Tulane to another school, directly to another school, and then directly to another school. And while I'm at Tulane, the other two schools cancel on me because they take other commits. It was wild.
Wow.
And so I was just like sitting there. I get a phone call from, you know, whatever number. Hey, you know, we can't take your visit. You know, we had another kid commit. All right. So I guess I got to tell these people to reroute my flight. That's kind of how that went. And, you know, Tulane was some of the only people that was really genuine through the whole process, kept me, you know, number one in their eyes on their list. And while I'm getting these phone calls and seeing people cancel on me, it's like, all right, who's really, you know, there for me and who's going to be, you know, I feel like the way that you're treated, you know, throughout anything is how you're going to be treated, you know, for the rest of your time there. So I think I was treated, you know, exceptionally here on my visit. And I was, you know, it's stayed true to that the past 7 months since I've been here. So I feel like I've made the right decision in that.
What I like about your just talking with you about this is you didn't panic. I mean, you may have panicked internally, but you said it earlier. It didn't matter if it was Power Five or whatever. It's just in this day and age, Ty, I tell young players, I tell quarterbacks in particular, you just have to get to the combine. If you get to the combine and, you know, where did Josh Allen go to college? Well, I don't know. He went to a community college to start with. Where did Aaron Rodgers go? He went to a community college. So Jordan Love, where did Jordan Love? So you give some examples to guys, and now it's just get to the combine. It doesn't matter the size of the school, the whatever it is you're going up against. But you go to a school with a good reputation, the school that's building and a conference that's building. Were those the selling points? What were the selling points to you?
Yeah. I mean, they've won, you know, a conference championship 2 years ago, went back-to-back years, lost last year in a tight game. But I mean, this place is building something really special. And then with this new staff coming in, I believe they're just building off of that even exponentially more. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you take a look at the things that we did in the portal this year, we're going to be, you know, stacked as far as talent goes. And then our staff is building something, you know, in the building, as far as, you know, culture and standards and, you know, just a overall team energy and, you know, the way we go about our business, that's going to be, you know, a one of a kind thing throughout this whole country. So kind of the selling points from Coach Summerall, Coach Craddock was get you here, get you on the field because we have something special planned for this place. And that's how it's been since I've got here. Everything that they've said has come to fruition and it's been truth. So I'm really excited for what we're doing.
I'm curious, is it just football as football, or are there the big differences in football behind the scenes from Oregon to Tulane? Some people may think that's a really dumb question. I don't think it is, because I think football is football. You have to have the resources, obviously. Oregon is viewed as way up here. How is Tulane in that world for you, because you've come from that program at Oregon?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to compare anything to Oregon. They've got, like I'm sure you've seen, unlimited donations from, like we were talking about, Uncle Phil. So they've got the top of the top of the top facilities, uniforms, all that stuff. But I mean, there's nothing that we're missing here at Tulane. We just got our whole building facility gutted and redone. All the coaches' offices, meeting offices, you know, all that stuff has been fully rebuilt, redone in the past 6 months since I've been here, which is kind of a headache. But now that it's done, it's beautiful. So I think at the end of the day, football is football. You still go out there and compete. And I will say this, guys at this level love it more. Like we've had the past Wednesday, Thursday, Friday off, and I was up at the facility today going to work out and get some extra work in, and I seen 20 or 30 guys. And I mean, that's not something that you see all over the place on an off day, guys coming up by themselves with no coaches getting work in. So the guys up here love ball and love what we're doing. So I think it is football is football, but at the same time, there's differences, you know, good and bad.
What has helped you in holding a clipboard and wearing a baseball cap?
Oh, man.
A hard question. It's a hard question, but it's one that I think whenever I've talked to quarterbacks where they go from where you were here in Arizona, the top of the top, and then they go to this world they've never been in before, Pee Wee, Pop Warner, whatever. They've never held a clipboard. They've never had a headset, never worn a ball cap. They've never sat there and done signs on the sidelines. What did you take from that?
Yeah, I think the number one thing I learned was how to be a good teammate. And I think that was the last 2 years with Bo. I mean, we became best friends just because of how we prepared each other. We competed every day. Another thing is competing in practice. It's not like you're getting ready for a game. You're just competing against yourself to get better for the love of the game. And that's how it's got to be. If you want to be great, if you want to really be prepared when it's your time, there's no days where it's like, you know, I'm just a backup. I'm not going to go hard today. No, it's like, if you want to be great, you are great every day. So it was being a great teammate, preparing like you're a starter, learning and competing and getting better every day. And I think, you know, as far as non-football things, that adversity of, you know, having to sit and watch someone, you know, live your life, your dream for 3 years is one of the hardest things, if not the hardest thing that I've ever done. And I think that it's built something inside of me that it was already there. My parents kind of instilled in it. It instilled that in me as I was growing up. But I mean, there's nothing that can compare to that feeling. And, you know, the feeling that's, you know, getting over that hump and now looking down at the future that is in front of me, like what's at my fingertips if I, you know, really take advantage of this opportunity. I think that adversity and growing off of that is, I mean, invaluable for sure.
Yeah. No. Are you a BMOC at Tulane?
What was that?
Big man on campus. Are you a BMOC like you were in high school? Because that guy over there on the bench, he's from Oregon. Is there some of that?
I mean, in the spring it was a little bit like that, but now that I've kind of got around the guys and you got to hang out and stuff like that, I'm just one of them. I'm a green wave now, so they all kind of joke around sometimes with, you know, some of the guys. Me and Mario come from the Pac-12. One of them, my locker mate right next to me, came from Alabama, so we call him Nick Saban sometimes, and it's fun. But at the end of the day, we're all brothers now. We're all part of the wave, so we're all kind of together now.
That's cool. Did you ever hear from Arizona or Arizona State when you went in the portal?
I did not hear from Arizona. They were going through like a staff change and stuff like that, and I don't think they were looking for a new quarterback. And then Arizona State, Coach Dillingham did reach out to me, not even on any recruiting stuff, just showing love and support. He had just, you know, promised his guys that he wasn't going to bring in a veteran quarterback to take, you know, their job just out from under them. And I respect that a lot. So Coach Dillingham just kind of gave me words of wisdom and support. And said, you know, I can't recruit you just because of this promise that I made to my guys, but I want you to go be great somewhere else. So
how was he with you at Oregon? How did he help you?
Yeah, when you talk about like some of the best masterminds offensively in football, he's one of them. Like we look back at, like, you know, Mike Leach or Lane Kiffin or Lincoln Riley. He's going to be one of those names in the next couple of years with what he's doing with offenses. He's gifted when it comes to putting things together. And then as far as developing quarterbacks, I mean, you look at this guy and he's never played a down a quarterback in his life, maybe since Pee Wee football. But I think, you know, he does a great job as far as teaching us, you know, what we're doing, what we're seeing, what he's seeing. Like I said, just the great offensive mind is kind of something that you have to pick at if you really love the game and you want to learn about the game. Because he's just an endless resource of knowledge.
What I tell people is he's 20 cups of coffee at 5 a.m.
No doubt.
like, okay, dude, calm down. He's got so much energy and enthusiasm. And I've seen him grow just in the, what has it been, about 18 months that he's been here. It'll grow into it. Before I get you out of here, a couple other things. I appreciate all your time. The business side of it, you referred to it earlier. We're in a new era now where if I'd said to you at Mesquite, hey, by the way, you're going to be able to go earn money in college, stuff wasn't out there really yet. Now it's out there in full force. So you have a team around you that helps you with marketing, I'm wondering?
Yeah, I do. People with RG3 Sports, Robert Griffin and his kind of support staff kind of helped me with the collectives and stuff like that through the process. And now here at Tulane, the Green Wave Collective, Fear the Wave Collective and all that. So They helped me do stuff through the school, outside of the school. I've done some stuff, you know, personally. So yeah, they do a great job kind of reaching out and being a resource.
How do you how do you pick what it is that they pitch to you? Or do they just know you well enough to say, that's not in Ty's DNA, no? Or you're like, bring it all on and let's just hear what we've got. How does that work? Yeah.
They kind of weed through the stuff. But then if it kind of fits what we're trying to do and what I'm trying to, you know, portray it as a part of my personal brand, then we'll go through it. Then I'll make the final decision. But I mean, for the most part, they don't bring anything to me that wastes my time.
Yeah. What's your coolest NIL right now? Are they all cool?
I mean, they've all been cool. Some of the things I did at my last school, we worked with Nike. We worked with GOAT, like the shoe app. And then, you know, I've done some stuff personally with McDonald's. And I mean, I just got some Invisalign for my teeth for, you know, for free, which is pretty cool. So I've done some stuff that's kind of just it's more helpful than anything. Like I've had, you know, some recovery brands send me some, you know, Theraguns or leg, you know, recovery sleeves and stuff like that. So it's been, I mean, it's been great. I mean, if you told me when I was at Mesquite that I could have made money and, you know, how much money these five stars coming out of high school are making, you know, I missed it by 1 year coming out. I could be a millionaire now. I could be sitting in a big old house talking to you, but you know, it's okay. I'm grateful for what I've got. And I think, you know, this is a long awaited thing, that college athletes have been waiting on. So I'm just grateful that I've, you know, got this opportunity for sure.
What did Mesquite help you with? What did you take away from Mesquite?
Yeah, I think, looking back at it, you know, I was a big fish in a small pond. You know, I was friends with all my guys that went to Saguaro and Chandler and Hamilton and Bastia that were competing for open championships and 6A, 5A championships. And they were all telling me, man, you're not going to get recruited out of there. You need to come with us and, you know, we'll win a national championship or whatever it's going to be. And I think that is where my loyalty to my school and my home really grew. And, you know, eventually I became, you know, the best player in Arizona out of Mesquite. And I had however many offers and I had however many stars and ended up wherever I was at from Mesquite. And it goes to show that, you know, loyalty to a school and being true to yourself and, you know, your home will always pay off. And that's kind of how I ended up, you know, staying for 3 years at my last place is just because I was loyal and I knew that there was a process to be had and, you know, keep the main thing the main thing, which is, you know, staying where your feet are and not being worried about anywhere else and anybody else. So I think kind of growing from that kind of small pond, big fish story, loyalty, being at home, all that.
Your story needs to be told more because, you know, we're in a day and age where like, dude, I'm gone. You know, I used to be, I'd see one kid that would go to three or four high schools. I'm out in the Chandler School District. And then there was 1 year where a kid went to three of the five. Yeah. Three of the five, and I'm not going to say who it was, but now it's like commonplace where it's, okay, I'm going to start in eighth grade into ninth grade, and then I'm going to leave before ninth grade even starts. And those players are all over the place just chasing it, saying, well, that quarterback over there is not very good, or they don't have one, so I have to run. And then three other quarterbacks come in, and they're miserable, and their high school stuff's all messed up. I think you could be out in the counseling world with your story because it's one that needs to be told.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, whenever I have a chance to talk to people about that stuff, I don't know how it is now. I'm not in the high school recruiting, you know, game as much as I was, but sure. I mean, I was able to get recruited to anywhere in the country out of one of the small schools in Gilbert. So there's no need to go running, chasing, you know, 6A, 5A, open division, whatever it is, you know, ball out where you're at, get on the field, get good tape. And the rest will take care of itself. If you're good enough, trust me, they will find you. Nobody goes missing and under the radar if they're good enough to play at the next level. So just be loyal and keep your head down, and the process will take care of itself.
All right, I have to throw this softball up to you to finish. Where would you be without Dan Minucci?
I would be throwing ducks somewhere not in college football. He, from the very first time I picked up a football to where I'm at now, holy cow. I was 12 in fifth or sixth grade when I first started taking quarterback serious. The very first coach I went to was Dan Minucci, and he's, you know, built my mechanics from the ground up. I can't thank him enough for what he's done for me and even, you know, the kids all over the valley, like the guys that you've mentioned. I think his name is one that kind of goes under the rug as far as what he's done for the Valley and quarterbacks getting recruited and developing. And I mean, I would not be here. I would not be able to throw a football. I would not be able to know what a defense is without Dan Minucci. So any young quarterbacks out there looking for a great coach, Dan Minucci's your guy. He's developed me from when I was 12 till I am, 21 years old now. And I'm spinning it now. So shout out Dan Minucci. Thank you for everything you've taught me, for sure.
Wow, that is an NIL right there. Dan owes you.
I owe him. It's all for free.
Anything else you want to add to the people back here in Arizona that I haven't asked you?
Man, I'm going to make them proud soon. It'll be, I don't know when it'll be, but process has been long. I've kind of been, under the radar for the past couple of years, but it'll be no longer under the radar here soon. So I'm going to make them proud for sure.
I appreciate your time and insights, and we will be watching from out here. Thanks.
Of course. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
There's Ty Thompson, and we're back with more after this timeout.